Good evening, church. Look around. I think I know everyone. Just in case I don't, let me introduce myself. I'm Father Jeff. I'm the pastor here at St. Bernadette. And it's my joy, my Advent joy tonight to, in the midst of this 24-hour adoration before the Lord, to provide an opportunity to encounter Christ through preaching centered around this coming weekend's scripture, specifically the scripture from Paul, that second reading in the Mass, Paul's letter. Helping me to do this tonight is Sharon Schumann, our pastoral associate for intentional discipleship, who herself holds a doctorate in preaching from the Aquinas Institute. That is hard to get. I know because I got one just before she did. But Sharon will be also breaking open Paul's letter for us tonight. What I find most powerful about these preaching encounters is that whichever pairing or grouping of preachers I present on any given evening do not collaborate at all in their preparations, other than each prayerfully break open the scripture for themselves. But I always find it powerful how the Spirit chooses to work through each preacher to create that encounter with Christ. You know, the Bible is just a book with ink on a page. What brings it alive is the preaching of it. So let us enter into tonight's encounter by first calling upon the gift of the Spirit to open us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit of God, it is you that give us the faith to recognize Christ in the Eucharist. It is you who inspire us to become that presence of Christ, to become that Eucharist to all in our relationships. And it is to you that we send this plea. Come into our hearts tonight through the preaching of the Word. And come into the hearts of all who over the 24 hours of adoration place themselves before the presence of Christ. As Christ looks upon us, may He be pleased. For we ask this in the name of Jesus the Christ, who lives and reigns with the Father and you, Spirit, one forever and ever. Amen. Listen, church, now to a reading taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians, chapter 1. Brothers and sisters, I pray always with joy in my every prayer for all of you, because of your partnership for the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. God is my witness how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may increase ever more and more in knowledge and in every kind of perception to discern what is of value, so that you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. The word of the Lord. As I was preparing this preaching over my drill weekend, again, any that are visiting us, I'm a chaplain with the Air Guard as well, it struck me that this is my first preaching of the new Advent season, my first preaching of this new church year. And I got to use paper. But it was a very busy drill weekend. I was partying with their son like Saturday night, and it was a lot of fun. Their son, Kenny, just completed an entire career in the military. You know what that's like. And so it was a very powerful weekend. But that being said, I am very conscious that this is my first preaching in this new church year. And so I found myself feeling very pastorly, I guess. And I was thinking to myself, okay, let's get back to the basics. What is Advent all about? You know, there are conflicting messages out there about this. I'll tell you about one. Now, I saw this about a month ago, okay? So it was right after Halloween that I saw this. I was coming back from some property I own, and I drive by this big mega church on my way, okay? It's where I vote, actually. And it's a huge mega church. It's got all kinds of flags in front of it, so you can't miss it. But this time, they had this big banner over their front doors that you could read from the highway, from the Gene Snyder. It's huge. And this is what it says. I wrote it down with a little giggle. Countdown to Christmas. November 4th through December 23rd. Every Sunday giveaway, including $1,000 Sunday and trip to Disney. Now, I would tell you where this church is, but I don't want to lose you. Here's the thing. One, I'm thinking, boy, they must have hired a marketing firm about this thing. But here's the thing. We believe that Advent is more than just another what can I get for myself out of this reality. Today's reading from St. Paul to the Philippians points us in the right direction. Paul writes, hear it again. I am confident that the one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it. Let me show you what caught my eye. Paul doesn't write, the one who began good works in you. Paul writes, the one who began a good work in you. And that caught my curiosity. A good work in you. Well, what good work? Paul seems to be rather specific, it strikes me, in this letter that he's writing. What is this good work of which St. Paul writes? Well, we know, for instance, that the work of the church is offering praise to God the Father through Jesus Christ, His Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the work of the church. Have you heard that term before? The work of the church? It's the offering of the sacrifice. So I think that the good work of which St. Paul is writing to this community of the Philippians has something to do with our being the mystical body of Christ, the church. So again, the detective in me asks, what is this good work of which St. Paul is writing? The answer is found in his prayer. Because in his prayer, St. Paul says, praise that our love increase more and more. And this love is our love knowledge and our love perception. For in his prayer, share it with you again. He says, then this is my prayer, that your love may increase ever more and more in knowledge and in every kind of perception. Well, that's love knowledge and love perception. Love knowledge is wisdom. Love perception is empathy. And then Paul goes on to pray to discern what is of value. He prays that we be able to discern value, not just the latest shiny thing, even a trip to Disneyland, but rather the tough stuff that lasts. Truth, faithfulness, loyalty. Why? Says it in the prayer. So that you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness, aka the good work that he mentions earlier. Why does St. Paul pray that our love grow more and more? I believe it's so that when we each look into the mirror of God's eyes, we will see Jesus Christ himself. So as Advent begins, as your pastor, I ask you, is your love the love of Jesus Christ? Is your love wise? Is your love empathetic? Is your love value-driven versus convenience-driven or selfish? There's a reason purple is the color for Advent. It is a process to grow to love as Jesus loves. We're not born able to do it right off. All the Gospels attest to this. Even that Gospel of Mark that Father Hensel pointed out is actually a compilation of what not to do to be a disciple. I had never learned that before. But boy, am I enjoying my read of Mark now. Growing to love like Jesus is a process, and this is what the season of Advent acknowledges. We are in an in-between place. We are, but are not yet. We have begun, but not arrived. We are simultaneously at the beginning of something new and at the end of something old. So evaluate your love this Advent season. Celebrate how far you've come. And acknowledge what remains in your way. And in this way, prepare your hearts so as to have something to give Jesus at his great birthday party we call heaven.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, I pray always with joy in my every prayer for all of you, because of your partnership for the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. God is my witness how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may increase ever more and more in knowledge and every kind of perception, to discern what is of value, so that you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. The word of the Lord. Good evening. How I love the letters from Paul, so filled with joy and peace and love, all in the name of Jesus Christ. I love those letters he sends. They fill my heart with joy. And I truly believe in the future, I believe they're going to call him Saint Paul. My name is Lydia. And my hometown is just west of Philippi. And I understand that maybe some of you even traveled with your church leader, Father Terry, years ago to my home. I'm so sorry I wasn't there to greet you at that time. I have a business. I make and sell purple cloth. And I took that business to Philippi. And you may wonder, well, why is a woman in the year 50 so enthralled with letters from Paul? Why would I be so excited to be speaking about that tonight? Well, I actually met Paul in person in Philippi. You You see, a group of us women knew he was in town, and on the Sabbath he went beyond the city gate and went out to pray. Well, we had heard so much about Paul that we followed him. And as we came up and he was there, imagine a group of women seeking him. We thought for sure he would turn us away, but he didn't. He invited us to come sit with him. And Paul shared the most glorious words about this way of Jesus Christ. You see, I had been a God worshiper, actually a God fearer, because that was the way I grew up, to fear God. But when Paul shared these beautiful words about Jesus Christ and this new way, it changed me. It filled my heart with joy like I had never experienced. And I was so moved that at that time I said to Paul, "Paul, please baptize me and my entire household." See, Paul can have that effect on you when you listen to Paul with all your heart. So from that time, when myself and my household was baptized, and more people in the community kept coming forward for baptism, and our faith community continued to grow, that's when we started eagerly waiting for those letters in the future for Paul. They were like gold to us when they came. Because this is what I believe. I believe that Jesus spoke to Paul. It was a mystical encounter on some road, but Jesus spoke to him. And it changed Paul so much that Paul came along and spoke to me. And it changed me so much that I was eager to go out into the world and tell more people about Jesus Christ in this new way. And my hope and prayer is that this will continue on for hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of years. Maybe in the year 2000, they'll still be doing it. Because I believe that is what happens. Someone encounters Christ. It could be at a moment in time. It could be a walk in nature. It could be in a church gathering like this one. In a ritual, hearing God's word, telling our stories. But somewhere along the line, you encounter Christ and your heart fills so much with joy that you want to share that encounter. I have to tell you about a story that happened just this past week in my faith community. There was a family, mom and dad, and they have three small children, beautiful, three little girls. The mom is a believer, and she started telling her children about this new way of Jesus Christ. And she even shared with them when Jesus died on the cross that he promised us life with him in eternity. So these were some of the lessons the mom was teaching the little girls. The dad wasn't a believer. He was working on it, but he just wasn't a believer yet. Well, a couple weeks before that, the grandmother had passed away, and the family was still grieving. But as a faith community in Philippi, we invited this family to come to our church house. And they did. And they heard stories of Jesus. We broke bread like Jesus commanded. We told our stories of faith. It was a wonderful evening us gathered together, all in the name of the love of Jesus Christ. That night when the parents were tucking the children into bed, they asked the girls, "Well, how did you like tonight? What was it like for you?" And the smallest one, she's about four, she said, "It was great. Grandma was there." And the father looked at her and he said, "What did you say?" She said, "Daddy, it was great. Grandma was there. You know, Mommy told us that when we die, there's eternal life with Jesus. And Grandma was there tonight." The mystical encounter of a four-year-old so touched the father's heart, He became a believer. It's those encounters with Christ that bring us awe and joy, that lead us to sharing that with others. And it's that awe and joy that I find every time I read Paul's letters. And maybe you all know this, I don't know, but do you realize he wrote most of his letters while in prison? Can you imagine writing, sitting in a prison cell writing, "I pray always with joy in my heart, a prayer for all of you to be companions of the gospel"? Oh, that my Paul writes that in a prison. And I started thinking to myself, what imprisons me that I don't find joy in life? Is this business and purple garb? Is it relationships? Is it finance? Are there things in my life that imprison me, my own imprisonment, that keep me from joy of Jesus Christ? Those things I strive to understand. Are there things that imprison me that I don't go out and share the gospel with others? Is there something that holds me back from sharing the good news that I promised I would? And what compels me to come out of that imprisonment? The imprisonment I put on myself. What compels me to come out of that imprisonment? It's the love of God. See, Paul shared Jesus Christ with me, but Paul always reminds us that it's Jesus Christ who brings us joy. It's God the Father who allows so much joy in our life. This is a piece of stone I carry with me all the time. And it says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son to die for us, that whoever believes will not perish, but have eternal life." Yes, Paul is the messenger, but Paul always points to Jesus Christ, because it's in Jesus Christ we find the joy. And it's in Jesus Christ and that sense of community in this wonderful space. My goodness, to hear the Word of God proclaimed, to break open the bread, to have Christ present. Oh, how can our hearts not be full of joy no matter what happens in our world? How can we not be shouting with joy with that one promise of God? So I took Paul at his word in this letter. I became a companion of the gospel with him. I opened my home, unheard of at that time. I opened my home to people to come hear the good news of Jesus Christ. I welcomed people. I even invited Paul to stay, which was really unheard of, him and his whole entourage. But I said to him, "If you believe that I was found Jesus Christ in my life, how can you turn me down?" And he came and stayed with his followers. Yes, I became a companion of the gospel for the praise and glory of God. Am I an intentional disciple of Jesus Christ? Absolutely. And I understand that you people, you all are from the land of Bernadettia. Is that correct? I've heard about you. I've heard that as a group of people, you all find joy in fellowship, joy in sharing the gospel with each other, joy in your studies, joy in gathering here to celebrate those sacred rituals that someday will be called sacraments, to hear God's word, to break open his word, and to share in the body and blood of Christ as God commanded. I've heard about you all. Heard that you go on beyond the doors. You go out into the world. You share the good news. You share your time. You share your faith. You give. You serve. Can you imagine this church at this time where we encountered Paul? That because of his example of encountering Christ and taking that so much in his heart that he went out and shared it. And again, my hope and prayer is that for hundreds, maybe thousands, maybe the year 2018, we'll still be talking about Paul's letters. And we'll still be sharing that good news of Jesus Christ. Oh, I can't see how we wouldn't. It's so powerful, and it's been set in motion. Paul's prayer for us, it's so applicable in this day, and it will be applicable for centuries to come. His prayer is that your love may increase ever more and more in knowledge and every kind of perception, to discern what is of value, so that you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Yes, Paul is the messenger, but we are the recipients. It's as if Paul got to me through him. And that's what I rejoice about. So tonight I leave you with an idea. As you leave church, I have some parchment out on the table. And I encourage you to write your letter. Write it to yourself, or write it to someone else. Keep it, or send it to someone who may need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ and joy during this Advent season. I put Paul's letter on the back so you can read it over and over again. But I encourage you to pick up that parchment and take it home with you during this season. Pour your heart out during this beautiful season as we await. Because I know in my heart that as intentional disciples of Jesus Christ, grace will abound when you share your thoughts in prayer.
Lord Jesus Christ, as we gaze upon your presence in the Holy Eucharist this night, may your word, broken open and planted deeply in our hearts, grow to the glory of the Father. For we pray this in your holy name, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Let the church say, Amen.